It is 10 o'clock, time to start our service. And because things have changed for us yet again, following yesterday's announcements, I thought it would be appropriate to give the notices before we welcome those who are leading our worship today. We can't meet for worship as from next Sunday in this place, as you will probably all have heard, but the services will continue to be Zoomed and live streamed on Facebook, so you can still tune in, and Andrew is the person to see for details, and there are login details at the desk as well. So sorry about that. It's beyond our powers to do anything about it, but we shall be open for personal prayer as normal on Wednesday morning from 10 till 12. And there's also Ben's Bible study. We shall be open this morning, this week from 10 till 12 for private prayer, and that will continue. Private prayer is permitted. We'll discuss it afterwards. There'll be a Bible study on Zoom, Ben's Bible study. Let Ben or Monica know if you would like to join that. That's Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Zoom. Christian Aid are organising an online moment of reflection, especially for those who've lost a loved one during this year. And this takes place on Wednesday the 4th of November. Please see Alison for further details. That's this coming Wednesday, isn't it? And next Sunday our service will be on Zoom and Facebook, and details will be emailed during the week. And it's my pleasure to introduce to us this morning Sally and Doug, who are members of the ICE team, Initiative for Christian Education in Exeter, and we look forward to your leading our service this morning. Thank you very much.
Well, it's lovely to be with you this morning all together. And for those of us watching online, it's lovely to have you join us as well. Welcome everyone to our service. I thought before we start, let's spend a time to thank God for our time together and ask him to join us as well. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that your church around the world is meeting today to spend time with you and know more about you. Please bless us as we spend time worshiping and learning more. Please be in this room and guide all of us. Amen. Brilliant. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to start by enjoying the words and humming along to the song of Bless. Oh, no, one more step along the world I go. Let's not get the order mixed up. So if you'd like to stand or if you'd like to stay seated, and those at home, let's have this song. joining me this morning. I'm Sally and this is Doug. And we are from ICE, and we are the Initiative in Christian Education. So our job is to go around the primary and secondary schools in Exeter and in the villages beyond, and to teach about Jesus, and to give a Christian education to all the children that we meet. So Doug is going to give us an update on what this year has looked like, because this year has been a strange year. So what we're up to at ICE, and I'll pass over to you, Doug.
Reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. It says this: "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen."
Okay, so thank you very much, John, for that reading. So this story that we're going to share with you today is a story we shared in our schools a couple of years ago. And it's one I really wanted to share with you because the children remembered it for weeks, for months after we shared it. I'd be asking, what did we learn last week in our assembly? And they'd say, oh, and they'd remind me of this story that we'd heard a year ago. So I really wanted to share this story with you today. And this story is the story of a storyteller. So last time I was here with you, a year ago, feels like a lifetime ago now, a long year can be a long time, we learned about John Bunyan. And we thought about how he came to write The Pilgrim's Progress. Well, today we're going to hear about someone else who told stories. We're going to open up her life and share it with you today. Her name was Gladys Aylward, and she was born in London in 1904, so just over 100 years ago. Now, for those of us watching at home, children, you're going to be at school until you're about 18. But for Gladys, that wasn't the case. She had to leave school, her education, at 14 years old, because it was time to work. In those days, you had to work to support the family. She wasn't born in a rich family. She had to go and be a parlourmaid in a wealthy person's house. So that's what she did. That was her life, her day to day. Until she started reading a book in her employer's library. That's the great thing, that she had access to all of their books. And she was reading about travels in China. She was reading stories of Christians who had gone to China and shared their faith with the people there. And she began to be inspired. And in conjunction with this reading, she went to a church service where the preacher talked about giving our whole lives to God, serving him with everything that we have. And she knew at that time that God was calling her to serve in the place that she'd been reading about, in China. Now for us today, getting to China is a bit tricky, but we can get on a plane and, well, definitely at the moment, definitely can't go at the moment, but normally it's a bit tricky to go across the world, but it doesn't take too long for us, does it? We just got to get on a plane, and in a day we can be in China. In the 1900s, a bit of a different story. You couldn't pop on transatlantic flight. You would have to take a train. It would be incredibly expensive, and you would have to go for years because it wasn't easy to travel back. But Gladys knew that that was what God was calling her to do. So she started to think about it. And then she shared the thought with her father. She went down to him one day and said to him, "Dad, I want to serve in China. I want to share about Jesus over there." And he looked at her and said, "So what are you going to do? Are you a doctor? Can you heal people? Can you knock things over?" That's unintentional. Quick pause as we deal with gravity. "Right. Are you a doctor? Can you heal people? Are you a nurse?" And she said, "No. Well, no, I can't do that. I haven't been taught." And then he said, "Well, are you a teacher? Can you teach?" And she said, No. No, I can't do that. Remember, she left school at 14 years old. And he looked at her and said, go away, you. All you can do is talk. All you can do is talk. Well, Gladys heard his words, and she ran out of the room. And she cried. Because as harsh as his words had been, they kind of were true. She wasn't a nurse, she wasn't a doctor, she didn't have those skills. And as she cried, she began to pray. And she said, okay, all I can do is talk. So I'll talk. And I'll talk, and I'll talk, and I'll talk, and I'll talk for you, God. That's what I'll do. And she didn't give in. She decided to start to look for ways to get to China. So she approached a missionary group who were going to China. These would be people who would go and teach about Jesus in China. And they told her she was too old to learn the language, that they didn't think she had it in her, and so they were sorry, but she couldn't join them. But she didn't let that stop her. She started writing, and she heard about a woman called Jeannie Lawson, who was 73 years old and was already in China in a guest house. And she wrote to Jeannie and said, can I join you? Can I join you in your work? And Jeannie said, if you can find the money to get your way over here, you can come. You're welcome. And so she saved and saved and saved and eventually bought a one-way ticket to China. Now that is faith, a one-way ticket. That's not saying you're going to be going back. Right, let's get that train ticket up on our board. And she got on the train, and after many, many, many days of travel, she finally arrived in the place she'd been hoping to be, in China, in the province of Yangcheng. This is where the guest house was. And Yangcheng in those days was on the trade routes. So the traders going across all of China would come past their guest house on the way in this place called Yangcheng. So she and Jeannie were there in the guest house, ready to welcome people in. The problem was, people didn't want to come in. Because they were European, and many people in China had never met a European before, they didn't trust Jeannie and Gladys, and they wanted to keep their distance. They said, no, we're not going to come in. It's too unfamiliar. So Gladys ended up with a rather strange job. What she had to do was stand on the end of the road and say, no fleas, no bugs, a warm place to rest. Come in, come in, come in. And what she would have to do, and I enjoy this very much, was grab a mule as it was being driven by its owner and kind of drag it towards the guest house. And mules, not being the cleverest of beasts, would just follow. And once your mule's decided where it's going to go, well, you might as well follow it if you're driving the cab or the caravan. Oh, dear. And that's what they did. And when one mule went in one direction, all the others followed. So basically, if you get one, you've got everyone. They all came in. Oh, my goodness me. It doesn't want to stay up, does it? Let's try that one more time. Wonderful. What they did, they dragged these mules in, and the drivers would go, well, it's late. It's time to rest. And they'd come into the guest house. Well, at first, they were dragged in. But soon, they began to come of their own choice. And that's because of the welcome they received from Gladys and Jeannie. They would receive a warm meal. They would receive a good bed. But most of all, they would receive a story. Gladys would spend the evenings telling about a man who cared about the travelers of this world, who welcomed those who were lost with open arms. She would tell them about Jesus. And people would start to come to hear these stories. And not just that, but from that guest house where those stories were being told, people would go out all across China And as they travelled, they would tell the stories that they had heard. They would share them about this man who walked alongside us in our troubles and in our joys. And little by little, people across China began to hear more about Jesus from this one guest house where all the trade routes met. But that's not the end of Gladys's story, because eventually Jeannie did pass away, and at that time she couldn't keep up the rent on the guest house. So that was a big time of change for Gladys, and she had to start looking for another way to survive, another way to make money, and another way to serve. Well, in those times, foot binding in China was very prevalent. It was a tradition. Now, if you don't know what foot binding is, it is when people would bind feet very tight of young girls to make them small and they believed very beautiful. But for the young girls who experienced this, it was very painful, and it meant that they couldn't walk around, they couldn't run, they couldn't jump. And so the government had decided to ban foot binding. But because it was a tradition, people didn't want to stop, and so they would hide the fact that it was taking place. And so they needed someone who wasn't Chinese to come in and help oversee the foot binding and make sure it wasn't happening. And Gladys stepped in. And she would visit the houses of young women and their families, and she would check to see if foot binding was taking place. And as she visited these families, she would continue to do as she had done before. She would tell stories about the man who cared about the woman, who cared about those who couldn't help themselves, who cared about families, who cared about children. That man called Jesus. And soon, the people would begin to look forward to Gladys's visits to come and check their feet, because they knew they'd be getting another story. And she didn't stop there, she carried on. In fact, one time she was called to help stop a prison riot. People were very angry in a prison where they weren't being fed properly. They didn't have anything to do, and so they got very angry. And she was called in, and she had to stand in the prison court and say, "Stop, everyone, I want to listen to what you have to say." And she began to help bring peace in that place. She got the prisoners jobs so they could earn meals, so they could learn skills that when they left prison, they could go on to earn money. And as she did that, she told about the man, Jesus, the Son of God, who cared about the prisoner, about the person who was locked away. And that wasn't all. As time went on, Gladys began to accumulate children. People who couldn't afford to look after their children would bring them to her for her to raise. And over time, she ended up effectively starting an orphanage for the children who would come to her for help. And during that time, she carried on telling stories about the Son of God, Jesus, who welcomed the child with open arms. And she fed them, she clothed them, and she helped them to get an education. And she didn't stop telling stories then. She carried on telling stories even on a long journey where she took 100 orphans across the mountains of China to run away from the Japanese army when war broke out. And she saved those 100 children's lives. She wasn't just telling, she wasn't just telling about what Jesus did. She was showing it by risking her own safety to save those children's lives. This is the name that the Chinese people gave Gladys, Awe De, which means virtuous one. And that is how she is remembered. You see, she told these stories about Jesus. She told these stories about the Bible and shared them with the people. And what she also did was she lived those stories out. With all those words she said about how Jesus loved those in need, how we should bless the poor, how we should care for those around us. With her actions, she backed up her words by being willing to love the people of China with everything that she had. I think her life is an incredible example of how to do that, to mix those words with our actions and to love those who God calls us to love. So there's the story of Gladys Aylward, the story of a storyteller. You see, as harsh as her dad's words were, as we said earlier, they were true. She didn't have the skills of a doctor. She wasn't a sailor. She wasn't anyone important in government. But that didn't mean that she couldn't serve God with everything she had. As we heard earlier in our reading, God has given each of us gifts, hasn't he? To some, it's hospitality. To some, like Gladys, it's words. And rather than looking at other people's gifts and saying, well, I can't do that, so I can't serve God, or I can't do that, so I can't serve God. Rather, God calls us to look at what we've been given by him already and to say, whatever I have, I give to you. And just when we plant a seed and we put it in the ground ready to grow, when we give those things to God, we're planting that seed, aren't we? And we're saying, God, grow the work. Because it was God who guided Gladys in everything she did. She just gave what she had to him, and he made it flourish and grow. And see what God did through her life. I think hundreds of thousands of people in China now know about Jesus because Gladys said, all I can do is talk. Okay, so I'll talk. And I'll talk. And I'll talk. And I'll talk for you, God. Well, I hope that can be an inspiration for us today as well. I wonder if anyone here has been thinking, well, what can I do? Especially in this global pandemic where everything seems so strange and everything's so locked down and I feel very helpless sometimes. What can I do? What has God already given me that I can say, hey, God, here's the gift you've given me, and now I give it to others in your name and for your sake. So that's our challenge for you. And at home today, what has God given you that you can use to serve him and to love the people around you? Well, we're going to finish with one more song, and I thought it was quite fitting if we have this little light of mine. Because Gladys only had a little light, but oh my goodness, it shone, didn't it? It shone all across China. So let's stand and hum and enjoy the words to this little light of mine. Thank you very much. why we look at our notes before we announce the song. So let's finish up our service today with a moment to pray, just to dedicate our weeks to God and to ask that he will help us to keep on serving him. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray just in the song that we sang, give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Keep me serving till the break of day. Please, Lord, would you give us that love? By your Holy Spirit, would you help us to serve those around us, whether online, whether virtually, or whether in person. Please help us to be lights that shine your love across the places where you have led us to serve. And please help us to be inspired by those who've gone before us to trust in you and to follow your way, that we might love people in your name. Amen. Well, it's been such a pleasure to be back with you again at Wandsworth Methodist Church. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you, everyone at home. Sorry we can't see you in person, but thank you so much for joining us today. And that's a goodbye from me and Doug, and we look forward to seeing you again, hopefully sometime in the near future. Okay.